We're supposed to know what this means, and a lot of times I think we know what it means, but actually we don't. And therefore, it's so important for us to, when we talk about this kind of things, that we know what we're talking about. And the first thing about this word kingdom, is we find it in the Bible about 320 times. About 320 times this word kingdom you will find in the Bible. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think probably most of those times it was used by Jesus. Because I know he spoke about kingdom quite a lot. I went to the dictionary to see what does it say about kingdom. And it says a country, a state, or a territory ruled by a king or a queen. So in the context of the Bible, if we talk about kingdom, it will be a territory or a domain that is ruled by a king. So it's talking about a certain area or territory. And another thing about this word kingdom is we also know that the first time that Jesus preached, he used that word. And I spoke about this, I think it was about 3 weeks ago. It's in Matthew 4, verse 17. And it says, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first time he opened his mouth to preach, he spoke about the kingdom. And he said, the kingdom is at hand. So if we look, just look at that verse for a moment, he says, repent. He starts by saying, repent. And the thing about repent is, it's almost like Paul said now, it's a little bit earlier, it is a place where we need to renew our mind. That's what repent means. It means renew your mind. It means think about things differently than you always used to think about it. That's repent. So the first time that Jesus gave a sermon, what he said was change your way of thinking. Look at things differently. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning the kingdom of heaven is near. It is close by. Renew your minds because the kingdom of heaven is close by. Why is he saying that? Because if you don't renew your minds, you're going to miss it. The first time Jesus preached, he said, renew your minds, look at things differently, for the kingdom of heaven is close by. You're going to miss it if you don't renew your minds. That's his first sermon. Now, if we talk about kingdom, I think we must ask the question, so the kingdom of heaven, is that like in one day when we're dead, then we're in the kingdom in heaven? I'm glad you asked the question. Actually, no. I want to read you a scripture, Mark 9, verse 1. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. So what Jesus was saying there is, the kingdom of heaven in all its power, some of you will see that before you die. Because I think a lot of times what we think, if we talk about the kingdom of heaven, we think, okay, but so now we live on this earth and one day we die, and when we die we go to the kingdom of heaven. It's one day after death. But what we see in the scripture is Jesus actually saying, but no, there's some of you that will see this kingdom of heaven before you die. So yes, it is true in the one sense that some of us will only see the kingdom of heaven once we died. But it's not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to experience the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that's why Jesus said, some of you will experience this in all its power before death, not after you have died. And if we look at the kingdom of heaven, we can ask the question, okay, so how did Jesus describe this kingdom of heaven or this kingdom of God? And we can go to Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. There's a lot of places where Jesus, basically what he do is, he compared the kingdom to something else to try and explain it to us. So I can't read all of them. I'm going to read like two or three of them. The first one, Matthew 13, 31 and 32. He put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in the field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. This parable, what he did to try and describe the kingdom of heaven to us, telling us it's like a mustard seed. It's like one of the smallest seeds that you get. But if it's planted and it grows up, it becomes a tree. It becomes a big tree. So the kingdom of heaven, it for us, a lot of times, it looks like there's something we look at and we think, yes, but this is so small. You know, what significance can this have? What difference can this make? Will this have any influence? If I put this small seed into my garden, will it make any difference? But what it says, if that seed is planted, a tree comes up. And the birds will come and nest in it. So the difference of this little seed, the difference of this kingdom, is so big that it's not only this gardener, it's not only the owner of this land that will eat the fruit of this, or that will experience the change that it makes, but the birds will come and will nest in it. It will become a nesting place. So it becomes something quite big. It will make a bigger influence, have a bigger influence on things around you than you think. Matthew 13:33, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Sierdeeg. Klein bietjie sierdeeg wat die hele brood suur maak. That's what it's talking about. And how it works with leaven is you've got this little bit, and you've got all this flour, and you take that little bit and you throw it into that flour, and what it does is it changes all of that. Because you see, a lot of times this is what he says, this is the kingdom of heaven, this is what it is like. Because a lot of times I think we think about the kingdom of heaven, we think about the kingdom of darkness, and we think, yes, but the kingdom of heaven is so small. If we think about this world out there and changing this world, we think, yes, but darkness is so big. How can we make a difference? But what God is saying, what Jesus is saying here in these words, is he's saying, but the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's got the power, the ability to change a lot of things around it. The flour won't like overcome or change the leaven. The leaven will change the flour. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Matthew 13, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. He sells all that he have and buys that field because it's like a treasure. Because you see, the kingdom of heaven is something, once you've discovered it, you can't get enough of it. Once you've tasted it, once you've experienced it, you will be willing to let go of everything else to get more of that. And this is where I want to say, so that is why the kingdom of heaven is so important. That's why it's so important for each of us to experience the kingdom of heaven on earth. Because if you don't experience the kingdom of heaven on earth, your life will not change. We can try and do all the right things. To go to church and go to cell group and read our Bibles and pray and all those kind of things. But if we don't experience the kingdom of heaven on earth, your life can't change. It will all be dead works. That's why the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in the field. Once you've tasted it, once you saw that, once you've experienced that, you'll be willing to let go of everything else to get more of that, to almost like call it your own, experiencing it, knowing about it. So another scripture of where we can ask the question, so what is it all about? If we talk about the kingdom of heaven, what is it all about? And the words here, Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why not of eating and drinking? Because it's not about the things that we think we need. You see, we think, but this is what we need. If we don't have this, we don't have life. And here the scripture says, no, 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 it's not about that. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Now, righteousness, again, Saskia mentioned that word earlier. She spoke about righteousness, about us being righteous before God. But you see, again, righteousness is one of those Christianese words. As we all, as Christians, we like to talk about righteousness. Man, you are righteous before God, and praise God because you're righteous, and thank you, Lord, for my righteousness. Okay, so what does it mean? What does it mean to be righteous before God? Because you see, if we don't understand what it means to be righteous before God, we're going to miss something here. Because that's what the kingdom is all about. It's about righteousness and peace and joy. So we need to look at what is righteousness. And righteousness, what it means is to be in right standing with God. That's what righteousness means, to be in right standing with God. What does that mean? To be in right standing with God. To be in right standing with God means you need to come to a place somewhere in your life where you realize it's not about me. It's about coming to a place somewhere in your life where you can cry out and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, without you, I am nothing. Lord, if you're not there, I can't exist. Lord, I need you. So righteousness in the first place is coming to that place of realizing that we need Christ. It's that place of realizing that without him, we are nothing. So the first point I want to make under righteousness, what righteousness is realizing, God, I need you. It's a place of humility where you can cry out and say, Lord, I can't be without you. So it's like a place of humility. But if we say it's a place of humility, a place where you realize that you need God, a place where you realize that you can't be without him, what I would like to say is it's important to realize it's not a place of self-pity. Because a lot of times what happens is we fall into places of self-pity and we call it humility. Self-pity is a place where we become desperate with our circumstances around us. Lord, it's me, I'm here again. Lord, I'm in the same place again. Lord, I know we've been through this already, but I need breakthrough. Lord, can you just give me breakthrough? I just want to put this behind me. And if God gives you breakthrough a month from there in the same place about something else, that's self-pity. That's not humility. Humility is realizing I need God. I can't be without God. Humility is going to God saying, Lord, I need you. I can't be without you. Lord, here I am with all the mistakes in my life, with all the problems in my life. I just bring it all to you because I can't deal with it. I don't know how to sort this out. I need you. I can't live without you. That's humility. It's realizing that. And humility is the first step of righteousness. It's the first step of getting into the right standing with God. It's realizing that you need Christ. And you can't be without him. You can't have life without him. Secondly, righteousness, it's about knowing what Jesus did for you. It's about realizing what he did on the cross. It's about knowing that there's nothing that you can do that will put you in right standing with God. It's about what Jesus did on the cross. That's the second thing about righteousness. It's accepting what Jesus did for you on the cross. Because we need to get to that place where we can accept, He died for all my sins. I'm righteous not because of my works. I'm righteous not because of all these things that I've done for God or for His kingdom. But I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's a place of accepting that. Accepting what Jesus did for me. And thirdly, righteousness is then about stepping into the place where you can be called the Son of God. Righteousness, right standing with God. Firstly, realizing I need Jesus. I can't be without Jesus. Lord, I need you in my life. Lord, here I am, and I choose to lay down my life. Secondly, coming into that place where we realize, Lord, I'm saved because of the blood of Jesus, not because of my works, not because of the nice things that I do, not because of the nice things that I say. I'm saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what saved me. And thirdly, Lord, because you saved me, I can stand in front of you. I'm cleansed. So I can stand in front of you. I can look at you. I know that I'm called the Son of the Most High God. Lord, where do you want me? Lord, here I am. Send me. That's righteousness. It's coming to that place. And God is calling each of us to a place of righteousness. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, the kingdom of God is about peace. Scripture there is, it's not up there, it's Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The peace of God is something that's quite difficult to try and explain, because it's something you need to experience. Because you see, you can stand on the middle of a battlefield, in the middle of war, and experience the peace of God. So the peace of God is not necessarily what's going on around you. It's what's going on inside of you while things is difficult around you. The peace of God is about when things doesn't work out. When your circumstances around you is something that you don't want. But on the inside of you, you're not running around. You're not in a place of fear. That's the peace of God. It's experiencing Him through all of those and in all of those circumstances. So the kingdom of God is also about peace. And then thirdly, the kingdom of God is about joy. Nehemiah said in 8 verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the joy of the Lord is not happiness. Because a lot of time people think about the joy of the Lord, joy and peace is the same thing, but it's not. Because you see, in this world, there's a lot of things we do to try and to become happy. But that will never give you the joy of the Lord. Because you see, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, the joy of the Lord, which is the thing that makes us go on, carry on, push through. The joy of the Lord is about knowing. The joy of the Lord is about knowing who God is. It's about knowing what He is capable of. It's about knowing who you are in Him. That's the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is about knowing Him, knowing His voice, getting into His presence. Through all of that, we will experience the joy of the Lord. And I think it's important for us to realize, a lot of times we think, but okay, so if I experience God's kingdom on earth, then my life will be without troubles. And everything will just be great. Because I'm experiencing heaven on earth. I'm experiencing His kingdom on earth. But that's not the case. You see, we're in a fallen world. We're in a world where there is other kingdoms that's active. We're in a world where everything does not necessarily go our way. But we're also in a world where we need to make God's kingdom come. So in this world that we are at, where things go wrong, where we experience pain and suffering, difficult times, those kind of things, we need to stand righteous. We need to have the peace of the Lord. We need to have the joy of the Lord in this world while those things are happening around us. But you see, if we can experience God and His kingdom in those places, then we will see His kingdom come. Then we will experience His kingdom. So it's so important for us that when bad things happen around us, that it shouldn't shock us and think, okay, but what's going on now? I thought I was in the kingdom of heaven and now all these things is going on around us. No, no, no. You need to let the kingdom of heaven come in those circumstances. That's what you need to do. What did Jesus, when he taught us to pray, what did he say we must pray? Lord, let your kingdom come as it is in heaven, also on earth. So what do you do? You pray the kingdom of heaven, you pray it down into your circumstances. That's what you do. That's what we were called to do. Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, against the kingdom of God. If you think about the kingdom of God, in the Garden of Eden, that was the kingdom of God. It's a place where it flourished. But what happened? Adam and Eve made certain choices. And may I say, they backed up. They gave away the kingdom in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus came and he took back the keys of the kingdom of heaven from Satan, saying to him that you don't have authority anymore. I'm taking back these keys. And that keys is handing to me and to you to rule over his kingdom. So there's nothing we must do to win Satan or go into this battle of where we're winning him for the kingdom to come. Jesus already did that. All we need to understand is the authority that we've got because of what Jesus did. So the keys is there. So we need to go and take that kingdom, the other kingdoms. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, for one kingdom to come, another kingdom has to go. I want to say it again. For one kingdom to come, another one has to go. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, I think a lot of times the mistakes that we as Christians make is like the way we see this. We think about the kingdom of heaven. The way we see it is, we see it as this castle. And we're sitting inside this castle. And what we're doing is we're defending. As the attacks come, we are defending this place where we are at. But it says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The kingdom of heaven was never called to a place where we were supposed to get stuck, where we sit and wait for the attacks to come and just defend it. We were called to go out. We were called to let God's kingdom come. For God's kingdom to come, another kingdom has to go. So we're not called to sit here and defend whatever is happening in our lives. Because a lot of times we experience these attacks, whether it's on your finances, whether it's with your family, whether it's sickness. And we're in this place of just sitting there, Lord, please help. Lord, this attack is coming. Lord, please bring healing. Lord, please bring breakthrough. we're sitting there in our castles, just trying to defend our castles. But we're actually called out of our castles. We were actually called to go into those areas we don't like to go into. Out of our comfort zones, if I may call it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, against the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? Because the kingdom of darkness is somewhere out there. And you need to go and look for it. You're not supposed to sit here and just defend what's going on in your life. You're supposed to go out and to go and take that other kingdom. Why does he talk about the gates that will not prevail against it? Because that's where you're going to. You're going to the gates of darkness. You're going to that gates to let that kingdom fall. That's what you're doing. That's what you were called to do. Because a lot of times we're sitting and we're waiting and we're defending, and we'll keep on defending for the rest of our lives. Or we can get to a place where we draw like a line in the sand where we can say, okay, enough is enough. I'm not taking this anymore. I'm going to stop defending where I'm at. I'm going out. And wherever this battles come from, wherever this attack comes from, I'm going there to let that kingdom fall. Because if that kingdom falls, the attack can't come anymore. Hello, is there anyone else that's kind of excited about this? You need to choose whether you want to stay in this place and keep on defending for the rest of your life, or whether you want to go out and take that other kingdom. Because for the kingdom of God to come in your life, another kingdom has to fall, which is the kingdom of darkness. And it says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But that's where we're going. We're going into those other places. We're stepping out of our comfort zones. And we move into that other places to let that kingdoms fall. That's what we were called to do. Is to go out. To step out. To let that other kingdoms fall. Now maybe we can ask the question, okay, so how exactly do we do this? Hebrews 11 verse 32 to 34. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight through faith. There's no other way. You see, God is calling each of us out of the place where we are at, into the unknown. And by doing that, we can see his kingdom come. If we don't step out into other places, if you don't push back darkness, the kingdom of God cannot come. So we can sit and defend our kingdoms for the rest of our lives. Or we can step out of our kingdoms into the unknown and push back darkness. And by doing that, his kingdom will come. You know the words of Smith Wigglesworth. Who of you know who was Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth is this man. It's like in the early 1900s. And he's one of these warriors, if I may call him like that, like a warrior of Christ. He's one of these huge men of faith. He's one of those guys where it's early in the 1900s, like I said, he went to a lot of places. There were so many healings, so many people that stood out from death through his life. He prayed for them and he raised people from the dead and everything. So to me, he's like one of this modern day men of faith. And what he said is, I'm busy reading a book about him, and one of the things that he said is, if you find yourself today in the same place that you were before, you are backslidden. Because the kingdom of, and this is what I'm adding now, and I believe this is why he said this, is because the kingdom of heaven is expanding around you. The kingdom of heaven is on the move. It's growing. It's changing things around you. So if you find yourself in the same place as before, you've backslidden. Because the kingdom moved on. And you're still in the same place. God never called us to a place where we were supposed to sit and wait for the attacks to come. He called us to a place of going out, to where that attacks come from, and to stop that from coming again. That's the place he called us to. Mark 10 verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now we know when there's a couple of places in the Bible where Jesus talks about becoming like children. And normally he's referring to their faith. Because with children, you tell them something and they just believe it. This previous scripture, he said if you want to conquer kingdoms, you need to step out in faith. And he's basically saying the same thing here. You just need to believe. That's why we need to become like children. We need to believe like children. We just need to believe. Because how do we step out? How do we take other kingdoms? So we step into a place of faith where we say, okay, Lord, I'm going. And you know, I know scripture says that if you've got faith as big as a mustard seed, again, which is very small, you can move mountains. Because a lot of times we think about these things and we think, oh, but Jesus, I must have this huge faith to try and accomplish something. No, no, no. I think again about Peter on the boat. Jesus calling him out, telling Peter, come to me, walk on the water. All he needed in that moment was the faith to step out of the boat. But Peter walked on water. Why? Because he stepped out. Why did none of the other disciples walk on water? They chose to stay put. Because inside that boat, I think it was much more comfortable than outside of that boat. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Israel, and I sat on the Sea of Galilee on a boat. And I looked over the side of this boat, and I looked at this water, and this, if you're sitting there, the water is like black. And I thought by myself, but Peter also sat there one day. There was a day where he was also in that same place, sitting on a boat, looking at the water, and chose to step out. The kingdom of heaven, you will only experience if you are willing to step out. If you're not going to step out, you might miss it. What's that scripture in the beginning? Renew your minds. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at things differently or you will miss it. Why is it that so often you can talk to people of the church and you'll ask them, okay, so how was church? And the one person will tell you it was just awesome. You know, I experienced God, whether it's in the worship or sermon or wherever, or even before the sermon started and before the worship started, I just experienced God in church this morning. God was just so present. He was there. And you ask someone else that sat two places from that person, how was church? And boring. Didn't really get something out of it. Now, is it that the kingdom of heaven only came up to a certain line? And so if you're sitting, you know, it's the front two rows. Kingdom of heaven is the front two rows. If you're sitting behind it, no. The kingdom of heaven is a place where we need to renew our minds, step into righteousness, and then we will enter it. So if you step into righteousness, you'll experience the peace of the Lord and the joy of the Lord. But you see, it's a place where we need to make a decision. I want to enter this. I'm going to go there. How do I go there? According to Scripture and faith. How did you get saved? Faith. When I got saved, what did I do? I said, Lord, here I am. I need you. You can see what's going on in my life, but I need you. Please take me. I give my life to you. Little bit of faith told me I can give my life to him and he'll receive me. That's enough. I got saved by that little step that I took. How do you step into the kingdom of heaven or into the kingdom of God? It's in faith. You make a choice this morning and you say, okay, I choose to renew my mind. Because the kingdom of heaven is near. You can choose this morning to say, okay, I choose to renew my mind. I'm going to look differently at this. I'm not going to miss the kingdom of heaven this morning. I'm not going to allow this to pass by me. Lord, I choose to step into it. Lord, I want to step into it. Lord, allow me to step into it. Here I am. That's it. And you can step into his kingdom. You can experience his kingdom. Yeah, but how do I know if it's really God's will for me to experience his kingdom? How do I know if it's his will that this must happen, that he told you to pray it? Let your kingdom come as it is in heaven, so also on earth. He told you to pray it. Why? Because it's his will. He told you to pray his will. He told you to pray this because this is something he wants to give you. This is something he wants you to experience. You know, a lot of times when I pray for people for healing or breakthrough or whatever, you know, what I pray? Lord, let your kingdom come in this life now. That's what I pray. Why? Because in the kingdom of heaven, there's no sickness. In the kingdom of heaven, there's no depression. In the kingdom of heaven, there's no fear. So if we pray the kingdom of heaven down in faith, what happens? Healing takes place. Breakthrough takes place. Another kingdom go. And just practical this morning, you can say, okay, but so if I want to go out, if I want to take a step where I want God's kingdom to come in my life, but also in the lives of people around me, what do? You step into their lives. Is there anyone here that don't know someone that needs Jesus? Because then we can give you someone. All of us, you know someone that needs Jesus. All of us agree that there's this someone where you think, if this person only can receive Christ. All of us know someone like that. You know how you let God's kingdom come into that person's life? You share it with them. Yes, we pray for people, but we don't only pray for people, we also step out. Because a lot of times we think, okay, but Lord, I'll just pray, and Lord, you must just do your thing there. And we like those scriptures where we say, well, but we're God's hands and his feet and so on. But then you need to go there. God's mouth, you need to say something. Because you see how God's kingdom comes, we step into other kingdoms by stepping into other people's lives. And if we step into other people's lives and we are willing to share what God did in our lives, we will see his kingdom come. Don't wait for his kingdom to come inside his kingdom. His kingdom must come outside of his kingdom. That's how his kingdom will grow. So we need to step out into this world, into other people's lives, where we share with them, where we tell them about Christ, where we trust God for his kingdom to come in their lives. Because a lot of time we can think about, you know, we know that person needs healing. And Jesus, I really hope you heal that person. But maybe you should go pray for that person for healing. Because if you do that, God's kingdom can come in that person's life. It's not about the words. You know, healing, for instance, is just like a manifestation of God's love. Because a lot of times we make the mistake of thinking about this whole healing thing is, okay, so what must I pray for this healing to come? Well, you can't heal someone. So just to make it easier for you. But Jesus can. So all you do is you ask him to do that. And you know, I saw and experienced a lot of healings in my life in other people around me. And some people I prayed for, they did not heal. But I didn't stop. Because I don't know how it works. And I'm not going to try and figure out how it works. But I will keep on asking. I will keep on asking God to heal people. I will keep on asking God to let his kingdom come in the lives of the people around me. So this morning we're in that place where we need to make a decision where whether we're gonna stay in this place and keep on defending against all the attacks that come against us, or whether we're going to step out of this place and to let God's kingdom come. I want to end off with the last scripture. I want to ask the worship team to please come to the front. Revelation 11, verse 15 to 19. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, 'We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth.' Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and earthquake, and heavy hail." But verse 15, "And the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of Christ.'" The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. You see, as Christians, a lot of times we've got this thing of, "I'm only trying to survive on earth, because one day I'll be in heaven. And everything will be different." But is it possible that heaven is waiting on us? Is it possible that heaven is waiting on us to take this kingdom? Is it possible that heaven is waiting on us to first change this kingdom around so that it become like that scripture says? The kingdom of our Lord. Because you see, if you think about it, if we never take the kingdom of darkness, if the kingdom of darkness can't become the kingdom of heaven, then did Jesus really conquer? This is one of those places where we need to renew our minds and look at things differently. It's not about being in this kingdom and one day Jesus will save us by pulling us out of this kingdom and putting us in his, because we couldn't conquer this one. It's about taking this kingdom. That scripture talks about the seventh angel blew his trumpet and there was loud voices. But the seventh angel blew his trumpet saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. What I hear if I listen to that, I see an angel with a trumpet in his hand waiting. There's something you want to pronounce. There's something you want to tell people. You want to blow that trumpet and tell them it has happened. The time has come. It has happened. They've taken the kingdom of darkness. The sons and the daughters of Christ, they stood up and they took the kingdom of darkness. It is time. It has happened. It is done. That's what I hear. But instead, so many of us, we're sitting, waiting to be plucked out of this world into the kingdom of heaven one day once we're dead. But then it will be like we didn't make it. We did not do what we were called to do. We were called to step out. We were not called to sit and defend all the time. How about you this morning? Do you choose to experience the kingdom of heaven? Do you want to experience the kingdom of heaven this morning? Or are you going to allow it to pass by? Because I'm telling you this morning that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm telling you this morning, the kingdom of heaven is close by. It is here. Don't let it pass by. We're going to finish off with the last song, and then I'll just say something after that. I'm going to ask each of you just to keep standing, but to close your eyes. You see, we didn't come to church this morning to talk about the kingdom of heaven. We came to church this morning to step into the kingdom of heaven. We came to church this morning so that we can experience the kingdom of heaven. Is it God's will? Yes, it is. It is God's will. So for us to step into His kingdom, firstly, we need to be righteous. And part of being righteous, we need to realize that we need Christ. So therefore, I just want to ask you, have you ever given your life to Christ? Because if you have not, you can't step into His kingdom. Because we know that you need to be righteous to step into His kingdom. And the beginning of that process is just that place of putting up your hand saying, Lord, here I am. Lord, I choose to give my life to You. Lord, I need You. So I want to ask, is there anyone here this morning, you want to experience the kingdom of God? Like that scripture says, renew your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Don't let it pass by. Don't miss this. Is there anyone here this morning that want to give your, that say, I want to give my life to Christ this morning? Can you just put up your hand quickly? Anyone like that? So we're all in a relationship with Christ. We're all in a place where we say, I know Him. I've got a relationship with Him. Are you experiencing His kingdom in your life? Are you experiencing the kingdom of heaven in your life? Remember, in His kingdom, there's no sickness. In His kingdom, there's no fear. In His kingdom, there's no depression. In His kingdom, there's none of that. And I know we go through difficult times. I know we experience those things in our lives. I'm not saying there's not going to be any of that in our lives. But we can cry out to Him. And we can say, Lord, here I am. And this is what's going on in my life. And Lord, I need You. Lord, let Your kingdom come in my life this morning. Lord, this depression in my life, enough is enough. Lord, this morning I choose to draw a line in the sand, say it's not going to continue. Let your kingdom come in my life. Lord, I need healing from you. Jesus paid a price so that I can receive healing in your kingdom. There's no sickness. Therefore, this morning, I can ask you, Jesus, let your kingdom come in my life and let the sickness go. Is there anyone that needs a healing, that maybe want depression to go out of your life, that's in a place where you're struggling with finances or anything else? Is there anyone like that that's in a place this morning where you say, I need his kingdom to come in my life this morning? Just quickly put up your hand. Three people. Anyone else? I want you to step out this morning. I want you this morning to step into God's kingdom, into the kingdom of heaven, saying, Lord, here I am, I need you. So I want to ask you where you're standing. Just quickly step out of that row. Just come stand here in the front, please. It's just symbolic of saying, Lord, I'm stepping out from the place where I used to be. Lord, I'm not going to continue in this place where I used to be. Lord, I'm going somewhere else. Because, Lord, enough is enough. Lord, I want to see your kingdom come in my life. I want the kingdom of heaven to come in my life. I'm not going to allow the kingdom of darkness to rule over my life. I'm standing against this in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's a place that you need to take in this morning. I'm not going to lay hands on you or anything like that. It's a place I want you to step into this morning. It's a place where you need to take up authority. It's a place where you need to say this morning, enough is enough. In the name of Jesus Christ, I choose to step out of this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, I choose to move other kingdoms so that the kingdom of God can come in my life. No other kingdom will rule in my life. But the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God will come this morning in my life. So where you're standing, whatever it is where you feel, but in this area of my life, Satan is still ruling. I want you to give that to Christ. And I want you to say to Satan, back off. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you to back off. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm taking your kingdom this morning in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare this morning that the kingdom of God will come in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare this morning that the kingdom of heaven, of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. In the name of Jesus Christ, so therefore, Father, we just come to you, Lord. Lord, we just want to praise you, Lord, for who you are. We want to thank you, Father, that we can proclaim that Jesus has conquered all, and we praise you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, this morning we come to you. And Lord, this morning we give our faith to you. Lord, this morning we step out in faith. And Lord, you said, as big as a mustard seed, we can move mountains. And Lord, this morning, as a church, we choose to put our faith together in the name of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone that agree with me? In the name of Jesus Christ this morning, we choose, Lord, to put our faith together. And Lord, as a church this morning, we draw a line in the sand. And we say, Lord, enough is enough. Satan, we tell you this morning, it's time to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Your kingdom has fallen. The word says that the gates of hell will not prevail. So this morning we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that the kingdom of Satan has fallen. He will not rule over our lives. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the one that will rule in our lives. So in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, we take your kingdom this morning. We tell you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, it will not prevail. As a church, we choose to stand together and we bring our lives to you, Jesus. We want to ask you, Jesus, to give us breakthrough. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just want to pronounce this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, any depression in this building, go. In the name of Jesus Christ, no more. No more depression in this place. And if you need healing, any place in your body, I want you to put your hand on that place you need healing. Anyone need healing? Put your hand on that place. Sickness, we tell you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let your kingdom come in our lives. Lord, as it is in heaven, let your kingdom come in our lives this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. All sickness in the name of Jesus Christ, go. No more. That kingdom has fallen. You are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone who haven't received the Holy Spirit yet, quickly put up your hand. Who want to receive the Holy Spirit? Anyone that want to receive the Holy Spirit that haven't received the Holy Spirit yet? Thank you, Father, that this morning we can proclaim, Lord, that your kingdom has come. Thank you, Father, that you renew, that we can declare, Lord, that you have renewed our minds. And Father, as we go out of this place, it's not about a one-time event. It's not about going and saying, but Jesus was great and this is what happened, that's what happened. It's about going out into this world, dealing with what's going on in your life. It's about taking authority of what's going on in your own life day by day. So whenever the attack came, you need to stand up and you need to say no more. No more. Because Jesus has conquered all. Therefore, this morning, I just declare no more. And Lord, we choose to do this on a daily basis. Lord, we choose day by day to rule, Lord. We choose day by day, Lord, to take other kingdoms for your kingdom to come in our lives. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for his love. Thank you for his grace. Thank you for his blood that cleansed us, that make us righteous. Thank you, Father, that we can know we are righteous. Not because of what we did, but because of what he did. And therefore, Father, this morning we choose to come into that place of the right standing with you. We choose to take up our places, Lord, where we can stand as sons and daughters of the Most High God, ruling over our circumstances, not allowing our circumstances to rule over us, but ruling over our circumstances. Thank you, Father, for a kingdom that has fallen. Thank you, Father, that this morning we can declare, Lord, that your kingdom has come in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If there's any of you that still wants prayer, you're more than welcome to please stay at the front, or if you're in the back, to come to the front. But I just want to ask you to realize that I don't believe in this one-time events where we go and now we receive freedom and everything is sorted. I believe in a relationship with Jesus Christ, where he teaches us new things and where we need to choose to walk in that and continue to walk in that. So some of you, I believe this morning, have received breakthrough in areas of your lives. But when the attacks of Satan come, you need to stand against that. And you need to be able to say, it is done. It is done. I'm not stepping back. Because a lot of times after receiving healing, a lot of times after receiving breakthrough, Satan comes to us. It's almost like he's trying us to see, what will you do now? Will you stay back? And you must stand your ground. Don't stay back. It's that place of saying, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. His blood is enough for me. So receive that breakthrough that God gave you this morning and choose to keep on stepping out for his kingdom to come. Father, I just want to bless every person here, Father. I want to thank you, Father, that you called us all to this place this morning of being in your house. Thank you, Father, that we were able to receive from you this morning, that we were able to step into your kingdom, to experience your kingdom on earth while we are still alive. Because that was your plan. That was your will. And therefore, Father, I want to ask you that when we step out into this world this week, Father, that you will be with us, that you will guide us, Father, that you will go before us, that you will be the light on our feet, Father, in front of us, showing us the way, giving us direction. And Father, that we will go out and glorify you by let your kingdom come in other places. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, guys.